Our text today is about drawing the circle wide. It comes to us from the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, verses 1 through 10, a very familiar story about someone who needed the circle drawn around him. I'm using the New Living Translation. It's on the screen. You're invited to use whatever text you have or to look with me on the screen. The important thing is, though, is that we listen. That we listen deeply to what the ancient text has for us this day. So I invite you, if you will, just to allow the words to flow over you as we go to this very familiar story with the new truth for us this day. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass by that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in us, for the word of God with us. Thanks be to God. And amen. I invite you, if you will, to pray with me. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you call to us in so many ways. Thank you that you are here and alive and present in this moment. Thank you that you draw the circle wide and that you speak to us through a child who reaches out to you. And Lord, in this moment, speak to us. Speak to our hearts and our minds and fill us, Lord, that we may laugh with you, that we may be touched by you, that we may be transformed by your grace. So speak, Lord. Speak, my Lord. For we, your children, are listening. Amen. Last week, we learned to laugh with Lazarus. We learned that his house had become known as the house of laughter. So today, we're going to laugh with the IRS man. I know. IRS is not something you want to laugh at. I was at a local superstore one night. It had been a long day, and I was doing my mother's grocery shopping, and she had on her list cream of wheat, which is one of her favorite things, right? And I was in the hot cereal aisle, and the only box of cream of wheat was on the top shelf in the back. You know what I'm talking about? Some of us over a certain age know what I'm talking about, okay? And there I stood contemplating the existential reason as to why my vertical height did not allow me to reach this box of cream of wheat. I just stood there because it was at about 10 o'clock at night, pondering what it was this meant for me. You know, the theological implications for the box being so high and me being where I was. Just stood there in amazement and confusion, tiredness, pondering the deep theological questions of the day, as we oft do as clergy late at night at Walmart. Anyway, hey. And finally I heard, "Let me get that for you, little lady." And there stood before me this wonderfully gifted, vertically gifted individual of about 6'2", and a young man, and he got it, and he said, "There you go, ma'am." "Ma'am? When did I become a ma'am?" Anyway, and he got the box of cream and wheat, and we had a lovely conversation, and I went on my way. And I thought about Zacchaeus. I thought about him. There he was in this crowd of people, and he was being shut out, left out, excluded. Now, he was excluded not only because he was short, but because of who he hung with. He was employed by the Roman government to collect taxes, to be a part of the establishment of oppression, to be a part of the government that kept people poor. And he was very good at his job, excessively so, because he took more than his fair share. In fact, he was often thought of by those people as being irredeemable, not worth anything, couldn't count on him. In fact, he was known as a cheat, a scoundrel. You know the labels, right? You know, he wasn't worth being associated with. In fact, he wasn't invited to all the parties. He wasn't invited to all the holiday celebrations. He wasn't even talked about in polite company. He had been stuck with a label. He was one of those people. And he was being shut out by all of polite society. For whatever reason, he was shut out. But I've often wondered, why was it that he wanted to see Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? What made him want to put himself in that situation of being ridiculed, of being put in that crowd that day? I mean, had he heard about the miracles, the feeding, the teaching? Was he just curious? Did he want something for himself? What was going on within Zacchaeus that he was drawn to this itinerant preacher? So since he couldn't see Jesus, he did the only thing he needed to do is he climbed up in the sycamore tree. He got above the crowd. He got above the discourse. He got above the arguments. He got above the name calling. He got above the labels. He got above all that stood between him and the object of his desire. He got to where he could see Jesus. You know where I'm going, right? Sometimes we've got to get above our issues in order to see Jesus. Sometimes we've got to get above what other people expect of us because of our past, because of our history, in order to see salvation. Sometimes we've got to say no to how the world has defined us, no to how we've defined ourselves, if we wish to lay hold of the one who is going to give us wholeness and peace. So here he is, stuck up in the tree, and Jesus walks along and stops underneath that tree. And as what Jesus always does, Jesus is particular, and he says, "Zacchaeus, come down." Calls him by name. Isn't that just like Jesus to call us out by name? For he knows us. He knows us in our personhood. He knows us in our faults and our weaknesses. And he calls him by name, "Zacchaeus, come down." I don't know about you, but I've been up in a tree from time to time, both physically and metaphorically. I've gotten myself up in a tree, right? Shake your head. Yeah. And I've needed the Lord to call me down by name. "Pat, come on down. Get yourself out of that tree." The Lord says, "I've got a word for you that's going to get you on the path of wholeness." Now, you got a choice when you're in a tree. You either keep climbing on up, right, till you get to those thin branches where a piece of wind's going to throw you out of the tree, or you can come on down to the safety of the ground below. Or you can stay stuck where you are. Christ always gives us a choice, does he not? We can come down and receive grace, hang on to our branches, or climb to an unsafe place. That's the beauty of grace. We have a choice. Zacchaeus, come on down and see grace face to face. Earlene, come on down, see grace face to face. Tony, you need a little grace, come on down. I know, Tony. You know? Come on down, Rick, you need a little grace. Sue, come on down, you need a little grace. Marjorie, Sharon, come on down, you need a little grace. Come on down and see the one eyeball to eyeball who is here to show you what grace really is, face to face. So Zacchaeus made the choice, and he came down, and he didn't just come down, he came down with great joy. And he came down with joy because someone called him by his given name, not by the label, not by what has been told to him that he was, not by what everybody else had called him, for the Lord had called him by his real name, by the name that God had given him, by Zacchaeus. He came down with great joy, for he had been seen in his entirety. He had been seen as the child of God that he was. He came down with great joy, for he had been seen, not as an object, but as a person, as a beloved child of God. He had been seen, and he came down with great joy. And that's when he began to laugh. That's when the joy and the myrrh began to bubble up with him. And he began to skip through the streets and take Jesus to his home so that he may show him hospitality. And what does Scripture tell us happened? People grumbled. People began to ridicule Jesus for showing grace. I don't know about you, I got people in my life that do that. When the Lord wants to show grace, they want to show judgment. When the Lord wants to show wholeness, they want to show hate. When the Lord wants to forgive, they want to have grudges. But Zacchaeus, though, began to laugh. And in this moment of salvation, he makes repentance and says, Lord, if I have cheated anyone, I'm going to make it right. And I'm going to give back abundantly, excessively. And in that moment, Zacchaeus begins to see himself differently. For it is in that moment of salvation, it is in that moment of grace, that we begin to see ourselves differently. We're not who we were, thanks be to God. For we are who Christ sees us, as beloved and whole, capable, wonderfully created children of God. And Christ comes and dines with him and brings him back and declares that here is the son of Abraham. In other words, here is another one who has been claimed, for whom the circle has been widened. And Zacchaeus laughs. And he begins to laugh at the fact that he had believed all those things said about him. He begins to laugh at the folly of living with the labels. He begins to laugh at his folly of trying to do it on his own, of thinking that his identity was tied up in his riches. And he begins to laugh to think that he was a sinner outside the bounds of grace. You see, there is nothing that we could do that God can't forgive. Let me say that again because you didn't react. There is nothing that we can't do that God can't forgive. Because you see, Romans 8 tells us there is nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves us. Period. Take that to the bank. And God in Christ Jesus wants nothing more than to redeem us. To redeem us to the full, complete that we are in Christ Jesus. That's the whole point, folks. Is that Christ came that we may have life and have it abundantly. It is the free gift of grace that we can lay aside labels, past habits and hang-ups, and lay our burdens of sin down. That we may receive forgiveness, and we don't have to take it up anymore. You can leave it at the cross. You don't have to walk around with that anymore. Did you hear me? You don't have to walk around with that anymore. You can leave it. And you can laugh. You can laugh at your folly. But you can laugh knowing that you are forgiven. You're not perfect. Right? Just forgiven. A forgiven, beloved child of God who, like Zacchaeus, can get out of that tree and know that the Lord has come to your house this day. For that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Our final hymn today is Trust and Obey, number
467.
Thank you, Bob. 467. I invite you as we stand and sing 467, Trust and Obey. Our altar is open if you would like to pray, whatever you need. God is here. Trust and obey as we stand and sing 467.